Welcome to the deep dive. So you've run a successful Kickstarter, the funding's in, brilliant. But now you look at your backer list, and they're everywhere, all over the world.
Yeah, that's an amazing feeling, seeing that global support.
It really is.
Yeah.
But then comes the slightly less thrilling part, figuring out how to actually get those rewards shipped internationally.
It's definitely a hurdle. We're talking Europe, UK, Canada, Australia. The list goes on. It's more complicated than just sticking a stamp on it.
Right. So that's what we're diving into today. We want to pull out the really crucial bits of info you need to navigate international fulfillment.
Exactly. The goal here is to give you the essential knowledge, some practical tips, really, to avoid the common pitfalls and, importantly, keep those international backers happy.
Okay, let's start with the challenges. Because international shipping isn't just domestic shipping, but further, is it?
Not at all. You're looking at what wildly varying shipping costs for one, much longer transit times, potentially weeks, and then there's the whole maze of customs regulations and, crucially, import taxes.
Ah, the dreaded import taxes. That feels like the biggest potential pitfall for backer happiness.
It really is. Nothing sours that post-campaign excitement like getting hit with an unexpected bill from customs just to receive your reward. It can, seriously damage that goodwill you've built.
So, what are the common pain points we see?
Well, besides the high and fluctuating shipping rates and the long transit times, customs paperwork errors are a big one. They can cause serious delays, even packages getting returned. And it varies hugely by region. Like the EU and UK have VAT, value-added tax, on pretty much all imports now. Canada has its own thresholds, often around 20 or 40 Canadian dollars before taxes kick in. And Australia, since 2018, they charge GST, goods and services tax, on most low-value imports too.
Wow. Okay, so managing this proactively is key for, well, keeping trust and ensuring the whole thing runs
Yeah,
smoothly.
absolutely. It's vital.
Right. Let's get in the weeds a bit then. Customs, duties, paperwork. What's the basic need to know?
Okay, so every single package you send internationally has to clear customs in the destination country. That's step one. And you, the sender, you're responsible for the customs declaration. That means accurately stating what's inside the box and what its value is. Usually, this goes on a commercial invoice for couriers or a specific customs label like a CN22 or CN23 for postal services.
Accuracy is key, you mentioned. So no trying to be clever and marking merchandise as a gift.
Definitely not. That's a classic mistake. Misrepresenting contents or value can lead to fines, delays, even seizure. Just don't do it. Be honest. Be consistent across all your documents.
Got it. Honesty is the best policy.
What about these HS codes? They sound important.
They are. HS codes, harmonized system codes, are basically universal product codes. Customs worldwide uses them to classify goods and figure out what tariff rate or duty applies. Okay, like a specific number for my board game or enamel pin.
Exactly. Finding the correct HS code for your reward is crucial because the import duty, that tax based on the product type, depends on it. You can look them up online, or if it's complex, maybe consult a customs broker. You'll need that code on your customs form.
Okay, so HS code helps determine the duty, but you also mentioned VAT and GST. Are those different?
Yes. Think of duty as a tax specifically on importing that type of product. VAT and GST, however, are more like local sales taxes that get applied to imported goods in many countries. EU, UK, Canada, Australia are big ones. And unlike duties, which sometimes have a minimum value before they apply a de minimis threshold, though these are often low or zero now, especially in the EU, VAT and GST often apply to almost everything or have very low thresholds.
Right, I heard the EU got rid of that 22 VAT free limit.
They did. So now VAT applies pretty much from the first euro. And here's the kicker. While VAT GST is technically the consumer's tax, the responsibility for sorting it out often falls on you, the seller or shipper.
Oof, so I might have to collect it or pay it somehow.
Potentially, yes. It depends on the country's rules and the shipping method you choose. Knowing the specifics for where your backers are, like Canada's GST rules, Australia's low-value GST, the EU's VAT situation lets you decide how to handle it. Are you going to charge the backer, or will you try and cover it?
Which leads us perfectly into Incoterms, I think. Specifically, DDP versus DDU. Can you break those down?
Yeah, absolutely. Incoterms are just standard trade terms defining who pays for what. For Kickstarter creators, the main two you'll encounter are DDU and DDP. DDU means delivered duty unpaid. Sometimes it's called DAP, delivered at place. This is often the default. You send the package, but your backer is responsible for paying any import duties, VAT, taxes, handling fees when it arrives in their country.
Simpler for me up front, maybe.
It is simpler for you logistically at the point of shipping, yes. But it carries that big risk of surprising your backer with unexpected costs, which can really hurt their experience.
Yeah.
Kickstarter even mentions backers are usually responsible, but you have to communicate this super clearly if you go this route.
Right. And DDP?
DDP is delivered duty paid. Here, you, the creator, take responsibility for all those import costs. You calculate the estimated duties and VAT, usually collect this from the backer via your pledge manager, and then you prepay these fees.
So the backer just gets their reward, no extra bills.
Exactly. It's often called friendly shipping because it's a much nicer experience for the backer. Smooth delivery, no surprises.
Sounds better for the backer, but more work for me.
It definitely involves more work. Calculating those fees for potentially dozens of countries is complex, but fulfillment partners and specialized shipping software can often help automate these DDP calculations.
Okay. I've also heard about using regional fulfillment hubs as a form of friendly shipping. How does that fit in?
That's a great strategy, especially for larger campaigns with lots of backers in, say, Europe or the UK or Canada. Instead of shipping individual packages from your location, you ship everything for that region in bulk to a fulfillment center in that region. You pay the import duties and taxes on that one large bulk shipment. Then the local hub breaks it down and ships individual packages domestically to your backers.
So the backer gets a domestic shipment, basically.
Pretty much. Which means no customs hassle or fees for them. It can be very cost effective, especially for EUK backers, but it needs more coordination and upfront investment for that bulk freight shipment. You'd need to weigh the costs versus the number of backers in a region. Like if 40% of your backers are in the EU, a hub there might make a lot of sense.
Makes sense. And quickly, what about iOS for the EU? Is that related?
Yes. iOS Import One-Stop Shop is specifically for handling VAT on lower value goods going into the EU, so under 150 euro. The UK has a similar system for goods under $135. It lets you register, collect the correct EU VAT from your backers directly, say in the pledge manager, and then you remit that VAT through a single online portal. You put your iOS number on the package label, customs sees VAT is paid, and it should pass through smoothly, at least for VAT.
So it handles the VAT part, but maybe not duties if the item's value is higher.
Correct. It's sort of a hybrid approach, very useful for streamlining VAT on those lower value shipments to the EU or UK. You can register yourself or use an intermediary service often offered by fulfillment partners.
Okay, lots of options there. It really sounds like deciding on this fee strategy early and then communicating it super clearly is paramount.
Absolutely. Decide your approach, DDU, DDP, regional hubs, iOS, and tell your backers exactly what to expect regarding potential costs. Transparency is everything.
Right. Moving on from the money side, what about the physical act of shipping? Methods, packaging, labels, any quick tips?
Definitely. First, shipping method. You've generally got postal services like your national mail carrier, think USPS, Royal Mail, usually cheaper, but often slower, maybe less detailed tracking.
Then you have couriers, DHL, FedEx, UPS, faster, better end-to-end tracking, generally more reliable, but also more expensive. And sometimes they charge extra brokerage fees to handle customs. So you need to choose based on your product value, speed needed, and budget.
And packaging. International journeys are rough.
They really are. Don't skimp on packaging. Use strong double-walled boxes if needed. Lots of internal padding, bubble wrap, foam, custom inserts if you can make sure things can't shift around. Fill any empty space. Corner protectors can be good for heavier items like books or games.
Good advice. Labeling.
Crystal clear labels. Full recipient address, including postal code and country, spelled out correctly. A contact phone number for the recipient is often very helpful for customs or delivery issues. Your return address needs to be just as clear.
And the customs info on the label. Yes, the CN22, CN23 form for postal or the commercial invoice details for couriers. Again, accurate description of contents, correct quantity, accurate value, the HS code we talked about, and country of origin. Consistency is key. Using good shipping software or letting your fulfillment partner handle labels helps avoid errors.
Any other potential gotchas? Like restrictions.
Yeah, be aware of specific country restrictions. Lithium batteries are a common one with strict rules. Some materials might be restricted. Check the import rules for your key destination countries, especially if your product is unusual. And make sure your product meets any local labeling requirements, like made in, if needed.
Okay, this is all incredibly useful. Now, something potentially disruptive happened recently regarding U.S. imports, didn't it?
Yeah.
The end of the $800 de minimis rule for some shipments.
Yes, that's a big one, mainly impacting U.S.-based creators manufacturing abroad, especially in China. Historically, the U.S. had Section 321, which allowed packages valued under $800 to enter duty-free.
I remember that. Very helpful.
It was. But due to trade policy changes, that $800 exemption was effectively eliminated, specifically for packages coming from certain countries, most notably China, as of May 2025.
So what does that mean now?
It means pretty much every package shipped directly from China to a U.S. customer now potentially incurs import duties, regardless of its value. Plus, there was the introduction of a sort of universal baseline tariff, around 10% on almost all imports into the U.S. in 2025, with potentially higher rates for specific goods or countries.
Wow. So if I make my game in China and plan to ship directly to my U.S. backers,
your costs just went up significantly. You'd likely need to rethink that. Maybe bulk shipping inventory to the U.S. first, paying duties on the bulk shipment, and then fulfilling domestically within the U.S. might become more viable, even though it wasn't before.
How does this affect international backers sending things to the U.S. or creators outside the U.S.?
International backers shipping to the U.S. would face the same duties now. For creators outside the U.S. shipping elsewhere, it doesn't directly change their import rules for, say, Europe or Canada. But it could indirectly impact everyone if it increases overall costs or causes logistical shifts for creators.
So staying informed through trade news and fulfillment partners is crucial here.
Absolutely. And factoring these potential new duty costs into your budget and pledge pricing if you're manufacturing in affected regions and shipping to the U.S. Kickstarter put out an update on this around April 2025, which is worth checking too.
Which brings us nicely to budgeting. This sounds like an area where creators can easily get tripped up.
Oh, easily. Underestimating fulfillment costs is one of the most common reasons Kickstarter projects run into financial trouble. You absolutely must budget for international fulfillment before you even launch your campaign.
So, what needs to go into that budget?
First, research actual shipping rates. Don't guess. Use online calculators from carriers, get quotes from potential fulfillment centers or 3PLs for different countries. If you're planning DDP or regional hubs, you must account for those estimated duties and taxes. Even with BDU, maybe have a small buffer for unexpected issues or helping out a backer here and there.
Okay, shipping rates, duties, taxes. What else?
Don't forget fulfillment labor and materials. If you're doing it yourself, that's your time. Plus, boxes, tape, padding. If you're using a 3PL, they have fees for receiving inventory, storage, pick and pack per order, and the packing materials themselves. Get clear quotes on all that.
And dimensional weight. I hear that catches people out.
Yes. Dim weight. Carriers charge based on the greater of the actual weight or the dimensional weight, which is based on the package size. Bulky but light items, like board games with lots of air in the box, can get hit hard by dim weight charges. Check your carrier's rules and pack efficiently.
So lots of potential costs. Yeah. Any final budgeting advice?
Build in a contingency buffer. Seriously, 10%, maybe even 15% of your total estimated fulfillment cost. Things will go wrong, rates will change, mistakes will happen. You need that cushion.
And what about charging shipping? During the campaign or after?
Using a pledge manager after the campaign is usually best for accuracy. You'll have final backer accounts, addresses, exact weights and dimensions once production is done. Plus, it's where you'd collect VAT if you're using IOs.
Right.
But you absolutely should provide shipping estimates on your campaign page. Be transparent that these are estimates, and the final cost will be calculated in the pledge manager. Underpromising and over-delivering on shipping costs is much better than the reverse.
So plan meticulously for every cost. Factory door to backer door and add a buffer.
Exactly. Don't underestimate it.
Okay, we've covered costs, rules, logistics. What about communicating all this to backers? That seems critical.
It's arguably the most critical part for maintaining trust, especially when things get complicated or delayed, which they often do with international shipping.
So what's best practice?
Be upfront from the start. On your campaign page, clearly state your shipping policy. Who is responsible for customs fees if you're doing DDU? Mention it. If you're offering friendly shipping via DDP or hubs, highlight that as a benefit.
Manage expectations early.
Precisely. And publish realistic delivery timelines for international backers. Give ranges, acknowledge customs can add unpredictable delays. Err on the side of caution. It's better to deliver early than late.
What about during the fulfillment process itself?
Regular updates are key, even short ones. Shipping to EU backers has commenced. Shipment has cleared customs in Australia. Don't go silent, especially if there are delays. own up to them, explain briefly what happened, and give a new, realistic estimate.
Silence breeds anxiety, I guess.
It really does. Be prepared to answer backer questions promptly, especially about tracking numbers, potential fees, or delivery status. Maybe draft some FAQ responses for common issues.
And if something major goes wrong, like a batch of return shipments.
Transparency again. Explain what happened, what the impact is, and what steps you're taking to fix it. Treat your backers like partners in the process. Keep them informed, the good and the bad. And, you know, celebrate successes too. All rewards shipped to Canada. That builds positive momentum.
Treat them like partners. I like that. Okay, this all sounds like a lot for a creator to handle alone, especially for a bigger project. What about getting help? Fulfillment partners.
Absolutely. You don't have to wrestle with all this yourself. Partnering with a third-party logistics provider or 3PL, especially one experienced in crowdfunding fulfillment, can be a lifesaver.
What exactly can a 3PL do?
They can offer end-to-end solutions. Receiving your inventory from the manufacturer, storing it, professionally packing orders, handling all the shipping logistics. They often have expertise in customs paperwork, carrier selection, maybe access to better shipping rates due to volume. They can advise on and manage regional hubs or DDP shipping.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, there was a TTRPG Kickstarter, Worlds Within. They partnered with a fulfillment service called eFulfillment Service, or EFS. The founder mentioned feeling totally overwhelmed by the international shipping complexities, but EFS handled it, all the customs intricacies, efficient packing, getting things out accurately. I let the creators focus on their actual game. They reported like 99% order accuracy and really happy backers. The founder said they felt genuinely cared for by the fulfillment team.
That sounds like a huge weight off the creator's shoulders. How do you choose the right partner?
Look for experience specifically with crowdfunding campaigns. They understand these surges and unique needs. Ask how they handle order volume spikes, any special packing requirements you have. Check their capabilities in your key international regions. Do they have EU warehouses? Can they handle DDP? Look at their software integration, pricing transparency, and definitely gauge their communication style.
Is it expensive? Is it worth the cost?
Yeah. There's definitely a cost. But you need to weigh it against the potential cost savings from avoiding mistakes, maybe getting better shipping rates, and the huge amount of time it saves you. For larger or more complex campaigns, professional help is often well worth the investment.
Right. So to wrap up, international shipping is complex, no doubt about it.
It is, but it's definitely manageable with careful planning, the right strategy for your project, and maybe the right partners.
We've covered understanding the challenges, getting to grips with customs and TASs, thinking through shipping strategies like DDP, DDU, and hubs, budgeting properly, and the absolute importance of communication.
That's the core of it. Planning, strategy, communication.
So a final thought for you listening. As you move forward, really consider which of these international shipping approaches best fits your project scale, your budget, and where your backers actually are. And think about the long-term value of creating a really positive delivery experience for those international supporters. It can make a huge difference for your future projects.
Well said. Maybe now is the time to dig a bit deeper into the rules for your top 2-3 countries or start researching some potential fulfillment partners.